The killing, as I just said in my introduction, triggered protests across the Muslim world, and there was much anger. Do you think this court case will abate any of those?
Unfortunately, I don't think that there will be any satisfaction in the Muslim world, because what they are witnessing is a rise of Islamophobia. And fine, you might have a court case for a person who indulged in violence, but where are the court cases for those people who preach hate, for those people who say that the Quran itself should be banned? In a poll that was conducted in 2006 by the German newspaper Frankfurter Allgemeine, 91% of respondents in Germany believe that Islam oppresses women, 83% says that Islam is dominated by fanatics, and 71% believe that Islam is intolerant. This is out of all the total respondents. Now, in an atmosphere which is of this kind of Islamophobia, which is spreading across Europe, where reckless politicians are indulging in denouncing the burqa and attacking the hijab, of course we're going to get incidents where people will be violent, where people will, like the killer of Marwa, said that called her an Islamist and a terrorist, because Sarkozy just a few days beforehand had denounced the burqa and was and had basically condemned the wearing of burqa as detrimental to living Western society.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of framework which is being created, this framework of Islamophobia, which is colouring the minds of the people living in the West, for them to hate Islam. And I think that, in the words of the killer of Marwa, he said that she was not a human. She was not human. And it's this demonization is reoccurring, just like it did back in 1945.
Dr. Jabour, who's responsible for this current atmosphere? We've just gone straight to the crux of the matter, which of course is the growing sentiments of Islamophobia across Europe. In this particular case, many Muslims across the world felt that the German official response was very muted and very slow, and that was their anger at it. But is all the blame to be laid at the door of the politicians?
Well, I suppose really that the German response was quite unsatisfactory. It was late in coming, it was slow, and it did not condemn what should be condemned quite frankly. This is a murder that was committed right in the court. I suppose that the judges certainly were to blame also, because they were not able to protect somebody who is in the court, who is being tried. Then, of course, we can blame the politicians, we can blame the philosophers, we can blame the thinkers, we can blame the media. But then Islamophobia is on the rise in the West. Something should be done about it. Part of it is the loss of the position that was coveted by the Egyptian Minister of Culture. We'll never forget that the Director General of UNESCO, the position of the Director General of UNESCO, was never taken by a Muslim except for one time, by Mukhtar Mbou. I suppose it should have been, if we were willing to make the world more tolerant, there was a duty on the big powers to give the office of the Director General of UNESCO, which is the cultural organization of the United Nations, to somebody from the Muslim world. But this did not happen. So you have all sorts of responses to the Islamophobia that are not satisfactory.
Yeah, and let me come in here, Mr. Al-Andalusi. How do you give a better response? How do you make the world more tolerant? Where you are, there's just been a furor this week, the leader of the BNP being asked to take part in a discussion. You're from the Muslim Debate Initiative. Debate is a good thing, but many in that debate there on the BBC were quite critical, saying, well, he attacks Muslims and Islam, and he didn't get much of a response from any of the politicians on the panel.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the situation today is that people are not tolerant of ideology is different to, to their own. So the Western ideology, this, the concept of secularism and so on, any person or any group of people that do not adhere to that, instead of being tolerated as they claim, they will be persecuted, much like what happened in the McCarthyite era, where communists were subject to witch hunts. And of course, in England and Europe, Europe has had a very appalling track record of handling its minorities, from the Jews, in Britain it was the Irish, blacks, and so on and so forth. And even before that, it was the Catholics and at one point the Protestants. So this is the problem with Europe and its engendered xenophobia. And I think one strategy which I think hasn't been tried is that people don't discuss with each other. There's no open dialogue. Muslims aren't given sufficient media representation to defend themselves, to answer allegations of which the Islamophobes have leveled against Islam. For example, my organization has set up a debate and dialogue with even members of the far right in order for us to discuss this face to face and to try to allay fears as best as possible, because unfortunately the Muslims lack sufficient media to get through to non-Muslim societies and basically just tell them that Muslims are essentially human beings like themselves.
Dr. Jabour, I mean, we touched on the media there, and how critical a role is the media playing in all of this? After the elections in Iran, when the Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was over in New York, he was very critical. He said, why didn't the death of Marwa al-Shabini get the kind of coverage, the death of Ned al-Sultan in Iran after the elections got? What's the difference between the two?
Yes, well, I suppose there is a media prejudice against the Muslims, against the Arabs, against the South altogether, against the people who defend human rights on the basis of equality. President Ahmadinejad, of course, was right in his criticizing the media for the little coverage that it gave to the murder of Marwa Sharbini. And for the exaggerated coverage of the death of Sultani. But now, why should we blame the Western media? Why don't we try to set our own media to gather our strength together and to try to impose our viewpoint on the world? I think that examples that pioneer projects such as the Press TV is a very important step in this direction. But then we might like to think of something else. Why don't we think of something like having a newspaper like the New York Times, let's say Tehran Times, let's say Damascus Times, being published and distributed widely in the world with all sorts of skills that are available, with all sorts of truths that are our right to disseminate in the world, and so forth. I suppose that the media question was tackled, you might like to know this, your audience might like to know this, by the only and first Muslim Director General of UNESCO, and that was Mr. Ahmed Mokhtar Mbou from Senegal. He wanted to rationalize the media within the context of human rights, within the context of global peace, within the context of justice for all. But then his program for the media was criticized by the West as anti-freedom experience, and he was, of course, sort of isolated even within the UNESCO, and then he was discredited, and he left the UNESCO with a feeling of sadness.